Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms. When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on every day from 1 until 4. From 1 until 4, whether you like it or not. And then after 4 o'clock, you can hear our podcast, which is the same as the radio show. John Cobell Show on demand runs after 4 o'clock or so, and you can listen to what you missed. And Deborah's here today.
Hello, John.
Deborah Mark left me alone here yesterday.
You survived.
Yes.
You're a survivor.
Well, welcome back. We have big news, and this happened in the last 2 hours. They're calling this a game changer, and usually I question when I hear words like that. Is this hype? But it may be. I'm going to tell you about it now, and hopefully before the end of the show, we will get someone schooled in immigration law to explain this in further detail. But I will do the best I can based on the news reports coming out. This is a Supreme Court decision, and they have temporarily allowed Texas to enforce a new state law that allows Texas police to arrest illegal aliens who cross the border from Mexico into Texas. And I'll explain the background so you understand why this is such a shocking decision. Virtually everybody in the immigration government law business is really surprised. It was a 6-3 vote. You may remember back in 2012, Arizona passed a law that would have allowed state officials and local police to enforce restrictions against illegal aliens. And the Supreme Court shot that down 5-3. I remember we went out to Arizona to cover that issue. It was a really big deal because the police were allowed to arrest and detain illegal aliens. And the Supreme Court at the time said no. And the reasoning was that federal law overrides state enforcement. If there's a conflict between federal law and state law when it comes to immigration, federal law wins. And that has been the doctrine ever since. I mean, it's always been the doctrine, but this really put it into code. And for some reason, 12 years later in 2024, Texas passed a law to do something similar and start arresting illegal aliens. And the Supreme Court said, yes, you can do that, at least for a time, 6-3. Now, here's what happened. The law is called SB 4, Senate Bill 4. And the main issue is, can Texas strictly enforce laws against illegal aliens that the federal government chooses not to enforce? You know, the Texas Governor Greg Abbott has said that if Biden's administration is not going to do it, we're going to do it. This is an invasion again, an invasion into our state. And they're right. It is an invasion by the millions from dozens of foreign countries. The Justice Department, arguing on behalf of the Biden administration, said if Texas were allowed to enforce its own immigration policy, it would create chaos, disrupt relations with Mexico, and they asked the Supreme Court to suspend this law while it goes through the whole federal court system. Now, what had happened is on February 29th, a lower court federal judge had blocked the law from going in effect. And then the U.S. Court of Appeals, the Fifth Circuit, New Orleans, reversed the order by a 2-1 vote. So the Biden administration took the case to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, at least temporarily, has agreed with the appeals court and allowed the law to take effect. Now, the law itself still has to go through the court system. This was a fight over the temporary injunction. Until the law is decided, can Texas arrest these illegal aliens? And the Supreme Court, like the appeals court, say yes. And again, this is a reversal from their 2012 policy. In fact, the Biden administration said the Texas law is flatly inconsistent with the 2012 ruling, and that more than a century of this court's precedents recognize that the authority to admit and remove non-citizens is a core responsibility of the national government. And that's been true. They are not wrong to assert that. The federal government has always had that right. Allegedly, it's in the Constitution. The Supreme Court has decided in favor of the federal government repeatedly, and they had, again, in 2012, a rather broad decision in the Arizona case. And now it's gotten flipped upside down. Everybody's in shock because now Texas police can arrest illegal aliens for being in the for being in Texas. Now, I don't know the specifics, whether they have. I have heard that they have to see them crossing the Rio Grande River, and they could be arrested at that point. I don't think they could be arrested randomly throughout the state. But it's definitely something that up until today was never illegal, but never legal in the United States. Now, it's interesting because I've always wondered about this, because everyone stands by the Constitution and precedent and state laws. But what happens if an administration absolutely refuses to enforce the law? What do you do? We have a situation like that this in L.A. County, where you have a district attorney who absolutely refuses to enforce many laws. So what do? Do you stand around and just let the place go to hell? Is Texas supposed to take in millions of illegal immigrants and do what with them? There's nowhere to house them. There's no money to feed them all, no place to put them, no place to school the kids. They don't have a medical care system. Should Texas or any state be forced to take on that burden because you have an incompetent federal government run by a bunch of idiot progressives? What do you do? And the thing is, with all the screaming that goes on in public about political issues, nobody ever gets to the nub of the question. You're the governor of a state. Put yourself in his place. He sees millions coming over the border, and he doesn't have the money, the personnel, the shelter, the schooling, the medical care, the food. No state does. What do you do at a certain point if the federal government abandons its responsibility? Because the Constitution cuts both ways. The Constitution says, ordinarily, the federal government supersedes state government. The Constitution also says that the president is required to enforce the law, immigration law. He chooses not to. What do? And maybe these six Supreme Court justices have seen we've hit the end of the line on this. If you have one government body that refuses to follow the Constitution, refuses to follow the law, and creates an impossible situation, that's the whole point of having three branches of government and a balance of power. If the president is not going to do it, well, somebody has to. And so the Supreme Court has said for now, the state of Texas can. And I don't know what kind of reasoning they wrote down in their decision. This just came out really an hour and a half ago. But I would have to think that's the thinking that's going on in their minds. At some point, somebody has to do something. We've already let millions of illegal aliens in. I mean, look at those ridiculous mayors in Chicago and New York squealing and squealing because maybe they have a couple of 100,000 illegal aliens. Well, Texas, there's millions that have passed through. No kidding. If you're overwhelmed with a couple of 100,000, what's Greg Abbott supposed to do with this situation? So again, if you're just joining us, Supreme Court decided 6-3 that temporarily, at least, Texas is allowed to enforce a new state law so police can arrest illegal aliens who are crossing the Rio Grande. I believe they have to see them crossing, and then they could arrest them. It's turned the legal and political system upside down. Everybody's shocked at the decision. First time in memory that the Supreme Court has sided with a state on enforcing its own immigration law. Oh, and I'm sure Gavin Newsom will follow right up, right? And we'll adopt a similar policy here in California. I'll tell you, all the people aren't going to go through Texas anymore. A lot of them are going to be coming through here. We will continue, and we'll have more on this later on in the show. That all the information I gave you is all we have right now.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We actually have a lot of immigration news. We'll get to more of it in the 2 o'clock hour. Steve Gregory is going to come in. There's a couple of stories. One is that illegal alien from Lebanon who says he's a member of Hezbollah, and he came to America. He was planning to go to New York and build a bomb. Actually told this to border officials. And another story, and you may have heard this piece has been on the news. Steve has a story about how officials think that you have terrorists from the Middle East going to Mexico, learning Spanish, shaving their beards, and turning themselves visually into Mexicans. And then they'll come here and commit terrorism. But they won't be as noticeable because they won't look stereotypically Middle Eastern with the thick beards. I mean, everybody makes jokes about terrorist beards. And the terrorists know it. The terrorists know that they become a stereotype. So they want to now transform themselves into Mexicans. Not making this up. Really is happening. Steve's got to have that story as well. This is just when somebody is nuts, boy, are they. Rebecca Grossman. Did you hear the latest on her? Rebecca Grossman is the woman who was driving 80 miles an hour after some booze and some Valium and killed two young boys, Mark and Jacob Iskander. They were 11 and 8. They were crossing the street with their mother and other brother, and she was racing her boyfriend, Scott Erickson, former Dodger pitcher. Grossman is not just any woman. She is still the wife of Dr. Peter Grossman. And in fact, Peter and Rebecca Grossman founded the Grossman Burns Center in the Valley. And he's the medical director there. So this is quite a prominent family, which is why this story got so much attention, even beyond the obvious tragedy here. Well, she got convicted. She's 60 years old and was convicted of 2 counts of murder, 2 counts of gross vehicular manslaughter, 1 count of hit and run. And sentencing is coming soon. And she could get 34 years to life. So she's done. She tried to blame it on Scott Erickson. The story was they were racing and they both had SUVs. The thing is, there were big dents and blood on Rebecca Grossman's SUV. That's why it was really obvious from moment one who hit the boys. And she tried to blame it, or her attorney tried to blame it on Scott. And it was Scott Erickson. And it was really one of the worst defenses I'd ever seen. I mean, this was just preposterous beyond belief. And what's amazing is the jury saw through it all. And that doesn't always happen. But she's in shock that she got convicted. Like, she was the only one who thought, yeah, this is a good defense. This will work. I'm trying to understand the arrogance and entitlement. This trial went on for, what, 6 weeks? And she is so stunned that she got convicted. I don't think she's completely delusional. And she's kind of stupid. Because after she gets convicted and she's sitting in jail awaiting the sentencing, she has been on the phone with her husband, her daughter, and other people trying to somehow get a new trial, get this conviction reversed. And to the point where now the district attorney, the deputy DA Ryan Gould, and another deputy, Jamie Castro, filed a motion to suspend phone privileges from Rebecca Grossman. I mean, it's really egregious what she's been doing. And when we come back after Deborah's news, I'll get into the details. But I just wanted to do the setup first. She has been trying to intimidate jurors. She's trying to get Scott Erickson to confess. According to Ryan Gould, the deputy DA, this is wholly improper conduct, potentially illegal conduct. She's trying to get her daughter involved. Her husband's still supporting her. She was running around on him with the baseball player. She's out getting drunk and loaded, running over little kids. And the medical director of the Grossman Burn Center is, I'm going to stand by you, honey.
Well, you know me, you don't know what kind of relationship they have. Could be an open relationship.
It's quite open. It's just wide open. I don't know. I'm not familiar with this kind of relationship, but I'd want her locked up. I mean, I don't think I'd want her coming back home.
Well, they do share kids together, so it could be all about the kids.
Yeah. Well, we come back. Wait until you hear what Rebecca Grossman has been scheming from her jail cell. It's really nuts.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Now, I know I left you with a cliffhanger about Rebecca Grossman, who, the wife of the burn center doctor who ran over those two kids, and she's up to all sorts of bad behavior in her jail cell while she awaits sentencing. And I set the whole thing up. But, you know, this is live radio and news breaks. So we'll get to Rebecca Grossman a little later. Right now, we have a chance to talk to Mark Krikorian, and he's on a tight schedule, Center for Immigration Studies. So when they said Mark is available right now, yes, let's put him on right now, and we'll talk about Rebecca Grossman later. And it's over the story we opened with. Supreme Court has said Texas can, at least temporarily, enforce a new state law that allows its police to arrest illegal aliens who are crossing the Rio Grande. It was a 6-3 vote. And not in recent memory can anybody think of a time where the Supreme Court sided with a state against the federal government so the state could enforce its own immigration law. But this story is only a couple hours old. I thought we'd get Mark Krikorian on from Center for Immigration Studies to explain the details as he knows it and the ramifications. This, I've heard the cable outlets driving in, and they all were proclaiming this is a real shocker. Is it?
Well, kind of. First of all, I'd love to hear about Rebecca Grossman myself, but putting that to one side.
We'll get to that.
This decision, the first thing to understand is the Supreme Court did not uphold the Texas law. All they did was they said it could go into effect while the main lawsuit over whether it's legal or not winds its way through the courts. And that's what the Biden administration was trying to stop. But it's still a pretty big deal because the Texas law, for the first time, makes it a state offense, a state crime, to illegally cross into Texas, in addition to being a federal crime. And they followed the federal law exactly in every respect. So they're not making up their own thing. They're just saying that this thing, which is a federal violation, the exact terms of that are also a state violation. And that matters because that means that Texas state police can now arrest people that they see either personally or on cameras or something crossing illegally. They can arrest them. They can be tried for a state crime. And this is the interesting spin on this, is that either they can go to jail, it's a misdemeanor, so it would be a, you know, less than 1 year term if they did it, or the judge can order them to be escorted back to the border to a port of entry, and, you know, they can leave on their own. And if they do that, then the jail time doesn't apply. If they come back, then they're in trouble. And that's what has gotten people on the left and the administration so outraged. They're saying Texas is deporting these people when they really aren't. They're just escorting them, and they're saying, if you want to go back and avoid jail, this is how you do it. Go back to Mexico.
And these are for people coming across the Rio Grande River?
Right. Well, entering Texas illegally, and Texas's whole border with Mexico is the Rio Grande, so yes.
Okay, and they're not going to a border patrol station and claiming asylum. They're trying to sneak in.
Well, it depends. If they, but even those that are coming across and claiming asylum, they all cross illegally. So if Texas can get to them before they turn themselves into the Border Patrol, they can arrest them. So that's one of the things that's going to be kind of interesting is, you know, is Texas going to try to put itself between the illegals and the Border Patrol so it arrests them before they can turn themselves in? I don't know. I mean, there's going to be, you know, this is going to be interesting how this will play out over the next week or two or three weeks.
Now, you know, of course, in 2012, it was a 5-3 Supreme Court decision that said Arizona could not arrest illegal aliens that had gotten into the state. What is the difference between the way the Texas law is written and the Arizona law, that Arizona was overruled, but Texas has been temporarily supported?
Well, because, first of all, we have a very different Supreme Court. So the 6-3 decision on allowing this to continue, you know, provisionally for this law to go into effect was on essentially party lines. I mean, the State Department, I mean, the Supreme Court doesn't have parties, but, you know, the 6 conservatives voted to allow it to go into effect. The 3 liberals said no. So it's a different Supreme Court is a big part of the law. Isn't exactly the same. Arizona did not have this provision where they, you know, could waive the crime, waive the punishment by just escorting people to the border, watching them, you know, sort of documenting that they left the United States. So that's one significant difference. But I think the biggest difference is, at least for now, that the court is different. Supreme Court makeup is different. And eventually this will reach the Supreme Court again to rule on the actual law itself, whether the law itself is constitutional. And we'll see what the outcome will be then. It may not be 6-3 because, you know, the Chief Justice is a little bit squishier on a lot of things. But, I mean, it's too early. I'm not going to hazard guesses on that. But the point is the makeup of the court is very different today.
Right. Well, usually if a court decides a law can continue without an injunction, they think there's merit to the law legally. I mean, if they thought it was an abomination, they would have blocked it right now.
Yeah. I mean, clearly they think that there is at least a case to make that the law could prevail.
And the twist is they made it a violation of state law. They're not pretending to be enforcing federal law. It's like, no, this is a state matter and we can do that.
You're exactly. But the thing is that they didn't make illegal anything that isn't already illegal in federal law. If they tried to do that, whatever that would be with regard to immigration, that would be constitutionally a problem. But what Texas is saying is, we are simply mirroring, copying what the federal law is and just making it a state offense as well. And therefore, their argument is that this should be allowed because they're not overstepping the federal government's authority. They're actually just copying what the federal law is and just applying it to state law.
You know, a few weeks back, Texas set up razor wire in this park that runs along the border. And the Supreme Court said that the feds can cut the wire. And the feds have not cut the wire. Why do you think that is?
Well, because I actually was there a few weeks ago and talked to some of the folks. I've talked to some Border Patrol people as well. This was the only place on the border where there was any effort by Border Patrol to undo what Texas was doing. And apparently it was just the result of like one or two supervisors who were trying to brown nose with Washington, and the rest of the Border Patrol had no interest in doing this. They work well with the Texas authorities, and basically once this issue blew up, they kind of got spanked. And so even though the Supreme Court, like you said that the feds are allowed to cut Texas's wire, it hasn't happened even once since then, and I don't think it will be happening at all.
So they don't want to deal with it. They just wanted to win the right to do it if they wish, but they don't have plans to do it right now.
Yes, that kind of seems to be the case, yes.
It seems like for the first time the Biden administration is on the run legally over this issue. And there's something that occurred to me while we were talking about this a half an hour ago. I've always wondered what happens when a government agency, the federal government or state government, decides to not enforce a certain range of law, right? Let's say immigration of law. And it becomes apparent that there's a lot of bad consequences for the American people, right? Not enforcing immigration law has been really bad. It's not doing anybody any good. Have the judges decided here? It's like, okay, we've got to step in. Something has to be done because we have a total failure with the executive branch. And that's why we have a balance of power. Do the judges feel like they have to step in because the Biden administration has failed so badly?
No, that's the thing, is that you can't bring a lawsuit unless you get standing, it's called. In other words, you have to show a civil lawsuit. You have to show some harm to you, to your state, however it is. You have to show some harm to be able to bring a lawsuit. And the problem is that, you know, in many cases, courts have simply said states can't sue because they don't have standing. And then individual citizens don't have standing. And congressmen don't have standing, so basically nobody has standing. That what this amounts to is that the federal government can just kind of get away with ignoring immigration law without consequences. And the only consequence would be political. In other words, you vote people out of office. But the point is, in the meantime, they can do enormous amount of damage. This administration has let millions of illegal immigrants.
Right, so that's what I'm asking. Is this some kind of backdoor message from the Supreme Court to the Biden administration? Look, this is really out of control, and we're doing a little bit here. No?
No, I don't think they think that way. I think they're just sort of saying, look, this is what's before us. We're deciding on the merits of this case, and that's it. So you would hope the Biden administration would get the message, if from nowhere else, from the polls. I mean, the president is underwater on immigration more than on any other political issue.
That's what I'm shocked by. In a lot of polls, it's the number one issue in the country. Biden's approval rating on it is in the 20s. He's losing all the swing states. He's losing the national polls. He's losing in the Electoral College. This is the top issue. And they doubled down on their immigration policy. And then you're having people being killed and raped. And what are they doing?
It's sort of hard for me to understand. I mean, if this were Bill Clinton, he would be out there arresting illegal aliens himself. You know what I mean? Because he was politically nimble and understood. I think there's two things going on here. One is the Democratic Party has radicalized on immigration. And this was even before Trump, but Trump accelerated it. So the kind of people who serve in, who are appointed to government offices, you know, when a president comes in, they are true believing anti-borders radicals. I mean, they, you know, they brush their teeth, they wear clothes. I don't mean that they're radical in their sort of appearance, but they do not believe that immigration law is morally legitimate. And so they see themselves as heroic if they're subverting.
And so they're willing to sacrifice the administration and bring back the return of Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I think they just sort of figure people can fool themselves. They can say, yeah, it'll work out. And the other thing, but there's two things. And the other thing is relates to what your question, which is that the president is weak. He's kind of a figurehead president. He's not in a position to put down his foot and say, look, everybody who did you, this is what you're going to do now. We're changing the policy. If you don't like it, you're fired today. So make up your mind. You have to have a president who's, you know, strong to do that. This president is kind of just filling space.
Yeah.
And he's not in a position to be able to do that.
Mark, I got to go. Thank you for coming on.
Anytime. Thanks.
Mark Krikorian, Center for Immigration Studies.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 to 4. And coming up after Deborah's 2 o'clock news, Steve Gregory with at least two stories. Actually, a lot of immigration stories we're going to get to. One with Steve is going to be on this illegal alien from Lebanon. He's with Hezbollah, he says. And he was caught at the border. He was going to New York. He told them his plan was to make a bomb. He's worked with Hezbollah for at least 7 years, maybe 11 years. We got to find out his background here, some conflicting stories, and then see what they're going to do with him. Now, second story, and Steve's been reporting on this, that some of the Middle Eastern terrorists are coming to Mexico and they're learning Spanish and they're adjusting their look to be more Mexican, shaving their beards, for example, and then sneaking into this country, and they plan to commit terrorism against us. So that's great news, isn't it? All right. Now, all of a sudden a crime wave going on in Irvine, and Irvine is normally America's safest city, and now they're getting hit with lots of burglaries, and I know Todd Spitzer has put up billboards saying they're not going to tolerate L.A. County criminals coming in and burglarizing and stealing in Orange County. Well, some group has gotten past Spitzer, and we're going to play a story from Hetty Chang of NBC4.
We just got some new numbers from the Irvine Police Department. They tell us of the 34 burglaries they're investigating, more than half of those thefts are from garages, but they've linked about 20% of those burglaries to these organized burglary crews.
I've been here my whole adult life. I've never had to lock my doors. I've never worried.
Lena Maddox lives in a guard-gated community in Turtle Rock, which gave her a sense of security until she learned of the recent burglaries police are investigating. 34 burglaries in the last 35 days in Irvine, seven of which police believe are the work of organized crime rings.
We've stepped up our security system, and I know a lot of my neighbors have stepped up their security system, but we've never had to in the past.
She's never had to, and neither has Ray Swee, who isn't dealing with a burglary at his home, but instead his business.
A big cut like this.
He shows us how Tuesday, around 4 in the morning, two men broke into his pharmacy on Jeffrey Road. Sri says he knows businesses are getting broken into all the time, but as someone who also lives in Irvine, he says he's surprised to learn police are investigating dozens of home burglaries recently.
That's too many for me, actually. I don't think for just 35 days, got 34, happened every day.
In a city of more than 300,000, city leaders say it's not actually a lot.
Like, it's not zero crime.
But the city and police want people who live here to be more aware of the burglaries happening, even in Irvine, which FBI statistics show is the safest city in the nation.
It is true through FBI statistics for a city of our size. It doesn't mean that you leave your front door open.
Police say the burglary trends they're seeing aren't always crimes of opportunity like city leaders describe. Detectives are seeing more burglars break in by knocking down or disabling security cameras. They're also noticing people coming in through a second-story window or balcony, similar to the Chilean home burglary crews we've been covering the past few years. Some of the tips police are sharing are common sense, like lock your windows and doors. But some of these other ones are useful with the trends they're seeing. Get a security system that has cameras with activity alerts, so it starts recording right when they're in motion. Also, when a stranger is at your door, talk to them through your camera or from behind the door so they know someone is home. And take inventory of your valuables, including serial numbers, receipts, and photos. And police are sharing another tip. Make sure you get those alarm sensors for those second story windows and balconies.
Well, if Irvine's now getting a wave of burglaries, nowhere is safe, and this should be the final nail in the coffin on Prop 47. And we got to find out how that repeal is going, because I know sometime in the next few weeks is going to be the deadline for getting the signatures for that referendum on the ballot that's going to do a major rewrite of Prop 47. But that's it now. Irvine's the last bastion. It's the last to fall. Never thought I'd hear a story like that. All these years, I never heard a story about a burglary run in Irvine. All right, we come back. We're going to do Steve Gregory, talk about the illegal alien from Lebanon who told Border Patrol agents that he's here, he wants to go to New York, and he's going to make a bomb. The guy seriously says this. I don't know why you would say that. And then secondly, about terrorists from the Middle East going to Mexico, and it's like, I don't know, they're going to a school on how to become Mexican. They learn the language, they shave their beard, they want to pass for Mexican so that they can settle in this country and build their terror network. Really is going on. Border wide open. And we're going to get to the Rebecca Grossman story, which we left hanging a half hour ago. But we had to get to Mark Krikorian, and it was more than worth it. So Deborah Mark has the news live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.